slightly north of here in Haver, Montana. Former vicar Marcus Williams will be ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry. And at this ordination, he will be making some pretty strict vows. I don't know how many of you have been to an ordination or installation service, but he's going to make some pretty intense promises to teach in accord with the Word of God, to teach correctly, to teach God's Word and its truth and purity. And there's a reason why we solemnly ask someone who is being put into the office those questions, because as you're going to see in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus is very concerned about false teaching. Because false teachers lead people astray, false teachers lead people away from the truth. And so we take this very, very seriously. We take this seriously, those who are called into the office, who are put in place as teachers over us, they should take it seriously. And then we, as hearers, we who listen should also take it seriously, and that's what our sermon is all about today. Our order of worship this day is Divine Service Setting Number 1, page 151. We're very glad to have Pastor Russert helping us out today, as Pastor Poppy and Barb are up in Montana for the ordination and installation this afternoon. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise You for the gift of Your true teaching, the truth which gives life. We beg You, O Lord, that You would protect us from the assaults of false teachers and enable us, O Lord, to recognize them by their fruit. We beg You, O Lord, that You would be with Marcus and his family as he is put into the office of teacher in Your church this day. We beg You, O Lord, that You would enable him to serve Your people faithfully as their pastor. In Your holy, Your precious name, we ask all these things, O Lord. Amen. Opening hymn, number 668.
Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishments. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the day as you find it in the front of your bulletin insert. To the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. To us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled to you to live according to your will, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah, chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually of those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear His word? Or who has paid attention to His word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He has executed and accomplished the intents of His heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in My counsel, then they would have proclaimed My words to My people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in My name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make My people forget My name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot My name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. We speak together the gradual for this day. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. The epistle is from Romans, chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
We rise for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The hymn of the day is hymn number 666. Please be seated.
false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, dear friends in Christ. Jesus doesn't have a whole lot of good things to say about false prophets. In fact, he kind of gets downright angry when he talks about them. His greatest fire and brimstone is reserved for those who teach falsely, who lead others astray. Elsewhere, he talks about this new fashion statement, millstone necklaces. Here, he sounds very much like John the Baptist. You even have a picture of it on the front of your bulletin. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. False prophets are doomed. They are condemned. Their end is destruction. No matter how much they protest, the last day will not be a pleasant experience for those who teach falsely. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." I never knew you. I don't think there can be any more terrifying words spoken to anyone on that great and terrible day. I never knew you. Though they did signs and wonders, though they even claimed to speak for Jesus, their fate is destruction. Their destination, hell. And they are taking as many as they can with them. False prophets are condemned so harshly by Jesus because they do not keep their opinions to themselves. The false teachings that leave them condemned, they spread to others. A poison that robs the true faith from the hearts of Christians. Make no mistake, dear friends, false teaching, false doctrine, false theology leads straight to hell. During the World Wars, there were posters up all over the place. I remember it because I was back. I'm told that there were posters all over the place saying, "Loose lips sink ships." We should have posters up all over this church saying, "False doctrine brings hell." Doesn't rhyme, but you get the picture. Why? Because a wrong Jesus cannot save you. No matter how nice he is, no matter how slick he looks. In the same way, a wrong path of salvation can only lead you to condemnation. No matter how appealing and easy the wide road looks. You see, false doctrine is a poison. Maybe a little won't kill you, depending on what kind it is, but it sure isn't healthy. And as you take it more frequently and the doses get stronger, you are killing off true faith. So that you will hear with those false prophets on that day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Are you interested in avoiding that kind of fate? Does having the door to heaven shut on you, shut in your face on Judgment Day, sound like something that you might want to avoid? If you're here this morning, then you probably think that avoiding hell is a good idea, a goal that most people should have, maybe all people. If not going to hell sounds like a good idea to you, then Jesus has one word for you today. Beware. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Beware, dear friends. Beware of false prophets. Keep your eyes open for them. Be watchful and alert. Now, this isn't as easy as it sounds, because false prophets don't typically put leading people to hell on their resume or false teacher on their business cards. In fact, if there is one thing we learn from Jesus about false teachers in our text today, it is that they often go in disguise. He calls them, in the proverbial phrase, wolves in sheep's clothing. And then he says that not only do they prophesy, drive out demons, and do mighty works, but these are often done in my name. That is, false teachers often bear the name Christian. These are the most dangerous, because we're pretty good, we think, at spotting false teachers that are outside of the Christian church, like a Muslim imam or a Hindu priest. We can spot those pretty easily. But things get much more difficult when a false prophet wears the label Christian. In fact, it's difficult, almost impossible, to find any false teacher at all, who has something bad to say about Jesus. They all love Jesus, their own kind of Jesus. You see, appearances are deceiving. Not only may false teachers bear the name Christian, but they will probably even do a bunch of good works. Now, sure, there are many of them who are sleazy and outwardly wicked. Just read a little history on Joseph Smith. But, and those are, once again, much easier to spot. It's the ones who are outwardly good, who make great neighbors, who serve in the community, who feed the hungry, who clothe the naked, who are actually, in reality, the most dangerous. For while we praise any good deed done by anyone in this world, believer or non-believer, the good deeds of a false prophet can lead us to let our guard down, perhaps open our ears to their teachings. And miracles can even do the same thing. Did you know, dear friends, that nowhere in the Bible does it say that miracles are restricted to those who are disciples of Jesus? In fact, Jesus explicitly promises, both in our text and then in Matthew 24, that false prophets will do many signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So how can you beware of false prophets, as Jesus warns you to do? If they are so well disguised, how can you mark and avoid someone who will poison the faith given to you by the Holy Spirit? Jesus actually has a pretty simple answer. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, we may be tempted to think that fruit here in our text is the same as fruit elsewhere in the New Testament. That refers to good works. But what did we already say? It's a quiz. What did we already say? False prophets have a bunch of good works. In fact, they sometimes even do miracles. And so the fruit of false prophets must be something else. Indeed, the very thing that makes them a false prophet in the first place. Their teachings. You can only identify a false prophet by listening to their teaching. There, a false prophet cannot hide any longer. You see, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. You don't go looking for grapes in thorn bushes. They can try to obscure their teaching with a bunch of pious-sounding, flowery language. They can make the task more difficult for you. But ultimately, as Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. How can you recognize bad fruit? Only by knowing the good stuff. Good fruit. The true teaching. False prophets can only be avoided if you know the truth of God's Word. The truth of the Scriptures. Every minute spent reading your Bible, every Sunday morning or Wednesday evening spent in this place receiving the gifts of Christ in the divine service or learning more about His Word in Bible class is arming you to recognize the fruits of false teachers. Now I'm told, and maybe someone can correct me, but I'm told that bankers are not taught to recognize counterfeit bills by looking at a bunch of fake money. They are instead taught every aspect of the real thing. And that's what we do here. We give you the real thing. So that if you encounter false prophets on your television, in a book or a magazine, on your front porch, or in this pulpit, you can recognize their fruit. Mark and avoid them. For appearances aren't going to get you anywhere. The truth is often dressed in rags, while falsehood wears a $3,000 suit and drives a Jaguar. The most ardent atheist can do as many outwardly good works as the most sincere Christian. And so you judge your teachers by their fruit. Knowing that, as Jesus says, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. You judge your teachers on the basis of God's Word, which means something. Which means that you must know God's Word in the first place. And that's your task as Christians, for the sake of your own soul and the souls of those around you. To listen to any who purport to be teachers and judge their fruit, their teachings. And that includes me. That includes Pastor Poppy, Pastor Russert. It includes anyone who steps into this pulpit. You see, any pastor who is afraid to be judged on the basis of God's Word, who instead throws his weight around as a teacher of the church, that pastor is afraid. Afraid that his teaching won't stand up to the scrutiny of God's Word. Call him to repentance. For false teaching brings death and hell. True teaching brings life. For the true Jesus does save you. The true Jesus bled for you. The true Jesus died for you. The true Jesus rose for you. The true Jesus took all of your sin upon Himself, your sin and mine, the sin of the world, and died to pay its penalty. The true Jesus placed His name upon you in holy baptism. He has made you His own dear child. The true Jesus has delivered to you all the gifts of His kingdom. The true Jesus puts into your mouths His holy body and precious blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. The true Jesus is true God in the flesh, ascended at the right hand of the throne of the Father for you. Dear friends, the true teaching of the church is not only right, it's good, it's beautiful, and it's for you. The true path of salvation isn't just the right way, it's the only way, and it's the best way, because it's all about faith alone and grace alone, without any merit or worthiness on your part. If you have indulged your itching ears with the slick lies of the false prophets, if you have mixed a little bit of poison in the waters of life given to you by Jesus, if you have, by the neglect of God's Word, here in this place or at home, left yourself open to the assaults of false teachers, repent. Repent and return to the true faith. For this is the truth. You are forgiven for the sake of Christ's shed blood, poured out on Calvary's cross and given to you from font, pulpit, and altar. The truth that you in weakness neglected is the very truth that forgives that weakness. The very truth that saves you for eternity. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, a child of God, forever. And so on that great and terrible day, you too will cry out, "Lord, Lord!" But this will not be the insincere cry of those who claimed the name and refused the teaching. No, instead, "Lord, Lord!" is the cry of faith. "Abba, Father," you cry out. All you who have been adopted as sons, who have been made children of God through Christ, and the door will not be shut to you. No, it will be open to you forever. For Jesus does know you. He died for you. He rose for you. And He lives for you. He made you His own. Your lawless deeds are forgiven. They are no more. He died for them all. That is the truth. The truth which sets you free. The truth that is not only right, but is much better than anything a false prophet has to offer you. All they have is death. Jesus has life. Life for you. That is the truth that we hear. That is the truth that we study. That is the truth that we read in the Scriptures. And that is the truth we cling to. For that is the truth that saves. And you who abide in that truth through the work of the Holy Spirit will live forever, world without end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Having heard the truth of God's Word, we confess our common Christian faith. In the words of the Nicene Creed, we stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God now, God God, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made. One change to our prayers. As we have been praying for Kay Cole over the past several months, we add an addition to that prayer. We pray for healing as she is currently hospitalized following a fall. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, truth incarnate, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show forth our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the Word and the Holy Sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. We especially ask your blessing upon Marcus Williams as he will be ordained into your office this day. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless his service, bless his family. We pray that this day would be a day of joy and that you would bless his proclamation and his administration of the sacraments in your name. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. We especially pray this day for your blessing upon the educational ministries of our church, especially our school as they prepare for classes in a couple of weeks, and also for our midweek classes beginning that same week, and for our Sunday school, which will be beginning soon after. Bless all the ways that we teach your children here in this place. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. especially Kay, Barbara, Georgine, Pearl, Natalie, Noel, and Carol, Charlotte, Raleigh, Kristen, Sharon, Celeste, Dell, Jocelyn, Ed, Cindy, Mildred, Anna, Larry, Lyle, Sherry, Mark, Bonnie, Warren, Ralph, Shelley, Doug, Desi, and the people of Venezuela. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, all these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, welcome to Good Shepherd this morning. We pray that you would be taught the true faith here in this place and equipped to be defended from the assaults of all false prophets. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. We have a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please pass it along and sign in. Guests and visitors, we're glad to have you with us this day. We'd ask that you would provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, we receive from the bounty that the Lord has given us our gifts and our offerings.
Please stand and we sing the Offertory on page 159. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you have created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us to do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. We close with hymn 582, God's Word is Our Great Heritage.
Welcome. A number of announcements, few announcements for us today. First of all, this afternoon at the McKinney household at the right next to the pond is our church picnic that starts at 3 p.m. I see the sign-up sheet is still out there, so definitely sign up. If you're unsure, just sign up anyway. And if you didn't get around to signing up and you get out to the parking lot and you realize you didn't sign up, I'm sure we'll be okay. But if you're planning on coming, sign up. Should be a really wonderful time for everyone. We're going to have to, it's going to be, I checked the weather, 77 degrees. So that's actually going to be really quite comfortable instead of burning out there like we usually do at the beginning of August. So meat is provided, and we ask that you bring a side dish or dessert of some sort. Two Bible studies this day, or well, one main Bible study. In the fellowship hall, we'll be studying the formula of concord. We'll be continuing our look at Article 7 on the Lord's Supper. We're getting pretty close to the end of that. I do want to point out as well, our youth group is studying the Luther movie starting today, and that's up in the youth group room. Two other announcements for this week that I know of. Young adults, Good Shepherd young adults, will be gathering at the Kirk House at Jim and Violet Kirk's on Thursday night at 7 p.m. One more announcement I wanted to make. We are, as I mentioned in the prayers, we're approaching the beginning of a new school year, and I definitely want to make it known that we would be very glad for any kind of volunteer help that we can get down there. I really think it'd be a wonderful thing to have more of our church members helping down there. And anyway, it's not something that you need a master's degree to be down there to help kids stay on task. Read a book to them or listen to them read a book or help them with their homework, help kind of control the crowd, that sort of thing. We would appreciate any and all help that we could get down there. And so if you're interested, talk to me, talk to Mrs. Barefoot, talk to Nancy Stepp, school board chair, and we'll be glad to direct you. I do also want to announce, we announced it to our school families this past week, but Mr. Tom Barefoot will be the one who will be teaching our older children this year. So we're very excited to bring him on board for upper grades this next year. I don't know if I have any other announcements. I thought I saw Ken was hovering back there, but maybe he didn't have an announcement. Any other announcements? Anything else we need to know about the church picnic? Yes. Oh, yes. So if you need maps... Yeah, do take a look. Don't go driving around Denton for 3 hours. Take a map so you can get there. Though I'm sure Denton's beautiful this time of year. Any other announcements? Any other announcements? Lord be with you as we continue to receive His truth for our good. God's blessing.